This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Welcome back to Kelly and Company, wherever you're listening in around the world. Appreciate your time. If you missed the live show, remember our repeat of the program is at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And you can also find us available through TuneIn Radio, OOTunes, or the Radio Player Canada app. Great apps in which to listen to the program live or the repeat or any of our AMI audio content while we're airing it. Rami Muth and Kelly McDonald, we are the hosts of the program, and it's now time, as we do every other Tuesday, we're joined by Julia Karanchis, our nutritionist.
I love the world of nutrition. Join me, Julia Karanchis, as we talk about everything from food and nutrition to living a vibrant lifestyle.
Julia, Happy New Year. Welcome back to the program.
Happy New Year, guys. Thanks.
Always nice to have you on board with us. Today, we're chatting about nutritional yeast, what it is, and how we can use it.
Yes. I love nutritional yeast, but I understand that it's, you know, a bit of a foreign food. So it offers a great nutritional profile. It offers great flavor, so many benefits, but I totally understand that it's not very familiar. So I thought today I would introduce it and allow people to get familiar with it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What is it and how we can use it?
Great. Well, let's start there with what is it?
Yeah, because it sounds funny, right? Nutritional yeast. Yeah. Well, it's a very
making a nutritional cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very nutritious vegan food. So it is in fact yeast, but it's in an active form of a specific strain. It comes as a flake, but not like a corn flake, more like fish food flake. So small and soft, right. Like there isn't crunch to it. And it has, this is where it's, I think why people like it so much is because it has a cheesy like flavor, which makes it great for using in vegan baking or cooking because it will achieve a cheesy like flavor without using cheese, like a real dairy.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Interesting.
Yeah. It sounds interesting and I'm curious about how we can use it, but is it really like the yeast that we bake with then? I mean, the consistency sounds completely different.
Right. Yes. The consistency is totally different and the names are misleading because yes, yeast that you bake with, has a specific purpose, right? Like it's making the dough rise and it gives it like a fluff. It gives it a fluff. Mm-hmm. So it's similar in that they are both yeast, but nutritional yeast undergoes a process involving heating and drying it, which makes it inactive. So it wouldn't be a good replacement for yeast that you would use in bread because you wouldn't get, it wouldn't make the dough rise.
Right.
It wouldn't, right. Right. And also that nutritional yeast has that cheesy flavor. So it would make it a very, generally speaking, a poor substitute unless you were making like maybe a pizza dough or cheesy bread, but it wouldn't even be good in bread because again, it doesn't make it rise. So it doesn't provide that yeast function. So it's not the same in that regard at all. You cannot substitute.
Okay. So my, and again, we talk always about things being particular and us as human beings, oh, I don't like that, or I wouldn't touch that way, or I love that. It's great. In theory, can one actually ingest this the way it is?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
Hey.
Yeah, you could use nutritional yeast. You can use it in a recipe or you can use it plain. So you can, okay. It doesn't require any doctoring of sorts,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like you wouldn't eat salt plain, but you could eat this plain.
Okay. So then what are some of the nutritional benefits to using nutritional yeast?
Yeah, like why even bother going to find it and figuring out how to consume it?
Oh, it's the Kelly way of eating food, right? Oh, just open this and eat right out of here. I don't have to put it on anything if I can stand it.
What's the purpose behind my consuming this? It's high in B12, which is a vitamin that's mostly found in meat, which obviously if you're vegan, you don't eat. So B12 it's a great vitamin for energy, which obviously we all want. And so nutritional yeast is a good non-animal source of this vitamin. But it also contains a bit of protein and a bit of fiber, and it contains other vitamins such as B1, B2, and B6. It can also have other health-promoting benefits too, such as increasing energy, supporting the immune system, and it can possibly help promote healthy hair, skin, and nails. So it's worth going to get, in addition to the fact that it does actually taste lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could eat that.
I like
hummus,
all of these benefits.
Right? What's that?
You could throw it into hummus.
You could.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you could. Cheesy hummus? Yeah, because now I'm basically thinking of it as cheese.
This is great.
Like I said, I'll just open the hummus and sprinkle, 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 and away we go.
Yeah, the first time that I discovered nutritional yeast was actually in a raw cracker. And, I mean, they were very pricey, but they were these vegan cheesy nacho crackers. And I'm like, this sounds like it's going to be delicious and that it's something that I definitely want to eat. And I started eating it and it was really good. And I thought how awesome it was that these were vegan and there was no cheese, but this flavor was really bang on to, you know, that like cheddar-y cheese situation. And sure enough, that was the key ingredient in this cracker was nutritional yeast. And that was my first exposure to it and into the wonderful world of nutritional yeast. And then I started buying it and using it. And now, you know, I do a pile of stuff with it and it's a little less foreign to me, but I first discovered it because I bought a vegan cheesy nacho cracker.
which brings me to our next question, which is how we can actually use it. Now, Kelly's already thinking up some ideas. Any like popular uses of the nutritional yeast already?
Yes. So there's a number of ways you can use it. I think it's pretty versatile. So you can use it as a seasoning with salt and pepper, for example. So you can just sprinkle it on things like rice. You could sprinkle on rice, which is super delicious if you're having a bit of ground beef and then you put this cheesy flavor on your rice. I mean, that can go together really nicely. You can also sprinkle it on top of pasta, soups, toast, or even popcorn. You just sprinkle it on top of. Also, if you've made an omelet, you can put it on top of your omelet or even in the omelet to help with a bit of like a flavor enhancer, if you will. And then I have made chowder, like corn chowder with it, like a vegan corn chowder with coconut milk to give it like a cheesier flavor.
That
yes. And I've
good.
Also done a mac and cheese situation where I used, you know, obviously pasta, and then I made this vegan cheese sauce with it. And that turned out great. And then there's also, you can do like, if this is your style, like a queso dip with it, like a cheesy nacho dip. Like you can make hot things and you can use it as a seasoning. Like if you want to get super adventurous, you can go and make these vegan cheese sauces with it. And if you start Googling, you know, vegan cheese sauce and vegan cheesy recipes, it tends to be the star of the show. Like it tends to be a common denominator in a lot of these recipes because it has this unique cheesy flavor.
What happens to it under? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. It just melts in with.
Okay. Yeah.
Which you're, the liquid of whatever, you know, if you're doing, I mean, usually with those mac and cheese sauces, there's a dairy alternative milk to it, like an almond milk or an oat milk or whatever. And it just mixes in. Not like fish food, which would not dissolve.
No. Well, that was that was my whole question of what happens to it under heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it will sort of mix in or
float
or become,
around.
Yeah. Or are we going to be, these little soft, uncrunchable chunks. Okay.
Yeah, it's like it mixes in very homogeneously, and it will give you that creamy cheese sauce texture. Chowder was delicious,
that's awesome.
And my mac and cheese was delicious too.
So some people have problems digesting yeast. Would nutritional yeast cause some problems for them?
Yes, they do have problems digesting yeast. Yeast can be a funny one for people in the stomach, right? You can get bloaty or cramps can also be like a digestive problem that people experience. Because it's inactive, it doesn't just like it's an inactive yeast. It doesn't disrupt as many people's stomachs as regular yeast would, but it can. And so if you have an inflammatory bowel condition, I would proceed with caution the same as if you had like a yeast sensitivity or an allergy. I would try a little bit to see if you have a react. If you have an allergy, then stay away. But it could like upset people's stomachs. But it also can be called a superfood because it's high in protein and fiber and full of vitamins and minerals. But one, you know, which we've talked about before, like good for one doesn't mean good for all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like just, you know, so it's super healthy and it can offer a really nice nutritional impact to your day, but it doesn't mean it is right for you. So yes, if you have a yeast sensitivity, it might not be, but it, you know, good addition. If you're a bread eater and don't have any symptoms, this will probably be fine for you. And if you're a minimal meat eater, this would be a great addition to your diet because it's vegan.
Yes.
So, you know,
and the amount of protein.
Yeah. And even, I mean, I am a meat eater, but I do limit my dairy. And again, it's because of digestive issues. So I'm not vegan, but because I do eat meat, but I eat very low dairy, or actually pretty much none except the occasional yogurt. And I use this a lot. Mm-hmm. Also because it keeps a lot longer than milk in my fridge.
I was just going to ask, like, how do you store nutritional yeast? Like what kind of packaging does it come with and how do you store it?
Yeah, it comes in a couple of different packages. Usually it comes in like, you know, those sort of resealable bag situations, you know, where the bag would lie flat, like how frozen vegetables come, but it comes in one of those resealable bags and you just can keep it in your cupboard. I don't even keep mine in my fridge. So it's dry, right? It's completely dry. It's a dry ingredient. You could keep it with your savory spices. You could keep it with your baking goods, depending on how you would want to use it. You can find them in shakers. Like, so some brands of nutritional yeast come in these bags, like obviously the larger portions, but then you can also find sort of like a salt shaker situation where it's a shaker. So that's what, when we were talking before about how you shake it on your food, like sprinkle it on your omelet, sprinkle it on your rice or whatnot, you can buy it as a shaker where that's how it comes out.
I love it.
And you
would
just use it with your spices. You're mentioning like the cheesy cheddar, cheesy taste. So can you omit salt when you're using this, Julia? Yeah. Like it has its own salty flavor.
Yeah, you could omit salt. You know what else is good? Although totally off topic, but you can get like seaweed, like crushed seaweed, and you could put that like dulse and other forms of seaweed that come in shakers if you want to try to avoid salt. We should talk about that.
I've been thinking of seaweed the entire time. I don't know if it's because you mentioned fish food, but I was like, I feel like we could use seaweed in this context.
Yeah, I bought dulse in shaker cups and I sprinkled all my food when I'm trying to... when I used to avoid salt. I don't avoid salt as much anymore, but there's definitely, you could definitely use it in place of.
And I think because it's still going to give you, like we've talked about, you still need a little salt in your diet, obviously, and it's still going to be fine without maybe the iodine and things.
Right. And now you're getting, you know, these other nutrients, you're getting all your B vitamins, which are water soluble. So we do require a lot of them because we're, you know, we pee them out.
Right. Yeah. What additions to hummus, right? You could have the dulse, a little salt.
That's such a good idea, Kelly. Yeah.
And then the nutritional yeast. I think it's the best thing, especially when you said things like popcorn to put the yeast on, because so many of us are struggling with, I want my cheese taste. When you know you're going to cheat and say, oh, I'm going to have that at nighttime. Well, I mean, I don't know too many people having popcorn at breakfast unless they worked all night or something like that. But you've got to think about those things because don't go to bed on that stuff.
Right. And you know, like if you don't like popcorn plain, if you eat it and it doesn't satisfy you, then you end up looking for another snack that's going to hit that note want.
Amazing.
Right. So if you can find ways to enhance the flavor of foods so that they're, you know, nutritious and tasting good, then I think it's a win-win.
Next time with you, Julia, we're going to talk about eating berries and other foods off season. Looking forward to it. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye, guys.
Join Julia Karanchis for our nutrition talks every other Tuesday right here on Kelly and Company Opposite Wellness with Francis Wong. Stand by, ladies and gentlemen. January marks Glaucoma Awareness Month. The Canadian Ophthalmological Society is spreading the word with a new campaign. We learn more in about 2 minutes. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.